אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 799.
We're reading from the book The Writings of Baal HaSulam. You can also find the article in Kabbalah for the Student. The article is Introduction to Talmud Asar Sefirot. You can ask questions live through kab.tv. So, Introduction to Talmud Asar Sefirot from Kabbalah for the Student, page 364, item 133. Rav says, we're also happy today to be welcoming our students from the Learning Center in English and in Spanish, and they usually join this lesson, and let's hope that we will meet all of them in the Buffalo Congress in October. So it's good to be together. Let's read. Item 133. We should also know that what we said, that there is choice only when there is concealment of the face, does not mean that after one has attained providence of revealed face, one has no further labor or exertion in the practice of Torah and Mitzvot. On the contrary, the proper work in Torah and Mitzvot begins primarily after one has been awarded repentance from love. Only then it is possible to engage in the Torah and Mitzvot with love and fear, as we are commanded, and the world was created only for complete righteousness. Meaning, we climb the mountain of 125 degrees, but that's only in the preparation time. The levels in which we actually correct the five layers of the will to receive, which we process into in order to bestow, all of that mostly happens in what's called the King's Palace. When we go there, the work begins. And this is how it is described in our world, as the sacrifices and the works of the temple and so forth. But all of that doesn't really matter to us that much right now, because we're not that much aware of all of those ways of work on those levels. And we mustn't forget that the steps we go through when we're little are those that actually become the basis for the work that will happen afterwards in the king's palace. It's like we see in situations in this world. If a child grows up in the woods and you only start educating at the age of 15 or 16, you can't do it. He already can't change. He didn't receive the right preparation during childhood, because anything that happens to him, say after 12, the age of 12 or 13, is already irreversible. Meaning, it all depends on preparation. What we think that, oh, the 125 degrees only start later, and only there things change. It's true on the one hand. On the other hand, our preparation time is the most important, because what happens next under the light of the king's face, and naturally, that's a different type of work. It's hard work, and it's important work, because we're always saying that the will to receive grows, and on top of it, against it, we work. We don't just go into a place where everything's fine, but the preparation happens in the childhood, in the preparation time. That is what builds up the person. So don't think that we're breaking in through the king's palace and only then we have something to do. The preparation during the transgressions and mistakes, as we learned, when we work against all those disturbances, the guards or cops or those that seem to us who want to rob the king or murder and so forth, this is how they are called. These disturbances are, the work with them is what builds up a person. One acquires from all those thieves and burglars and murderers, he acquired all their art, how they work, because he wanted to work against them. So now he understands, this is how I'm being manipulated, this is how I'm being fought against. And so he learns from those reversed forms, and this was what makes him wiser, makes him understand how to invert his will to receive in order to bestow. So that work against the disturbances, against those guards, against those landmines, is what a person has to do, because without that preparation, he doesn't have the mind and the ability to begin working in the king's palace. I didn't understand the issue of learning from the thieves within me. Can you give an example? I think it's obvious from our world. It's like, let's say I go to work at the police. So what do? I open all kinds of cases, and I don't know what they did, those criminals, but I see some of them did this, some of them did that, and I want to discover what they did exactly, what for, and I investigate it, and I analyze those things, categorize them, until I put all that picture together and it's clear to me. Then I can determine that this is the criminal, this is what they deserve, what is the type of punishment they deserve, how can I maybe turn them into better, to turn them into effective, actually. And I need to study them. Maybe they were poor in their childhood, maybe they were abused, raped, who knows. I need to take all those things into consideration. I need to know everything about them. After I know everything about them, I know how to take care of them, how to correct them. Because here in our situation, we're talking about correction. We're not talking about just putting a person in prison and that's it. Theoretically, we should have been able to correct the person. So I need to think about the proper forms of correction that are needed. Of course, I need to seclude him first, because right now that criminal is uncorrected. But then, as I correct it, I need to gradually let it out, give it a different environment each time, and this way recreate him, kind of restore him, bring him back to life. That's called correction. So this is how I work against every disturbance within me that unfolds, and I detect it and I study it. But that's the problem. When I study it, I'm studying it from the side of the judge, the investigator. I'm not surrendering under his rulership. I'm not going to steal together with the thief. I always keep myself from the side of holiness, and I observe that criminal from afar. Although I understand and I go down to him and I understand what's going on there, but I keep myself in the corrected side according to my role. Just like an investigator or a judge or a cop. This is why it says, make yourself guards and cops in all your gates. that will be truly a way of progress. Why did we start talking about that? So anyway, this is the way in which we process our desires to receive, correct them in advance. The main disturbance or hurdle that can be from our side is that we engage in them too much. We need to investigate them from above, and our goal is the correction, to look forward. But without that, we don't learn. Without doing that whole doctorate on them, I won't be able to work with them, because in the king's palace they're corrected. There's all the mountain and the palace and the king and all that, they don't exist. It all exists within me. It is all built in my corrupted desires. When I build a higher and higher mountain out of them, because if I bestow, it means that I climb it. If I don't climb above those disturbances, then I'm buried underneath them. Meaning I build that mountain. I call it Mount Sinai. I'm the one who climbs above it. I'm the one who builds the palace of the king there, and the king in it, and I'm the one who goes inside, and all of that is created from the broken desires that are becoming apparent to me. And there is where I find who the king is, how to serve him, how to create bestowal from those desires. There's nothing besides what I discover within the corrupted desires. That's it. Everything's there. All the worlds, all the spiritual levels. There is no form discussed in the Torah at all, or any form that a Kabbalist discovers, or even a common person. There is nothing that we discover other than what's in our desires. The Creator only created desires, and we discover different manners of it, different shapes of it. That's it.
So therefore, before we start working, there's nothing before us, nothing ahead, there's no form like coming above or in front of me. And therefore, we always have to see the examples he gives us, that it's not of the obvious that I have 125 steps, it's inside of me, it's in my reshimot, it does exist in potential. But no more than that. I have to develop them. I have to work with them. I have to build everything out of them. I was given substance, material, and reshimot, and I have to bring the light and to connect them together. It's called orot, nitzotzim, and kelim that connect together, the lights, the sparks, and the vessels that come together. And then in this connection between them, which is called the soul, I feel my reality in both. Now I feel my reality in my soul. But within the tiny, smallest layer called the corporeal world. It's both now, the same desire. There's no other reality. What, we're detached from everything. The Creator has created only one thing. Only the lowest layer in this general clique called the soul is this world. We don't call it soul. It's simply to emphasize that everything exists in the desire. Soul we call according to one's attainment of the Creator. Yes, it's not clear. Why is it so important, this emphasis that there's nothing? Work within yourself and find everything inside. That's the main thing. There is nothing outside of you. Don't wait for it to come from someplace outside, or there are forms on the outside. Everything and all that you envision within, you stand in front of some upper force that will influence you. Inside, you'll feel what it is. will influence you a bit more. You'll feel inside a bit more what it is. Nothing will appear before you like this. Bigger, suddenly there are certain forms that appear before you that are revealed before you. It's a lie. There's no such thing. Spirituality is not revealed from the outside or on the outside. It's like we feel this world that in this form that it exists outside of me. Spirituality is revealed inside. Therefore, it's called the inner wisdom, the internality of the Torah. It is revealed without any of this imaginary, falseful imagination. It seems to a person that he stands before that power that has to influence him and discover within him different pictures, different inner occurrences. I don't have the word for it. The inner experiences, but internal, for sure internal. Undoubtedly that it's inside of me and not outside of me. I do not envision spirituality like corporeality that exists here before me, outside of me. No, it's all inside. No doubt about that. And this world then, also I start seeing it as internal. In accordance to this. So, why am I constantly so precise about it? There are many implications towards our work, towards our exertion. Not to yearn for anything from the outside, only the power that has to affect me from the outside of me. From outside of me means that it's not under my control. It's also inside of me. Everything is inside of me, but not under my control. I do not detect it. And what connection do I have with that elusive or concealed force in me? By the books, by the hearing, by the reading, by different efforts. I have some kind of a connection with it. I was given this condition, if you'll do this and that, if you'll think one thing or another, and if you'll want this or that, it will bring the influence of that power upon you. Otherwise, it won't influence you. We need to prepare ourselves only for inner changes. Yes. From the Learning Center, a question. What exactly is our inner work, and do we have to prepare ourselves for this inner work? The preparation for the inner work is also inner work. It's all inner work. If we're talking about the point on which a person asks what is the meaning in life and starts to develop it, mostly the inner work is the preparation of one's environment. It's the teacher, the books, and the friends. This influences me and arranges for me the conditions that I could demand, by which I could demand the light that reforms, the correcting force. Yes? Rav, maybe in the last 40, 50 years we have new means, which is audio and video. It's not only books. How does it join this whole mechanism? It's the same. It's very simple. I can't remember when I open a book. Besides the hours I'm here, don't open books. I open my computer. I learn from the screen. And therefore, no problem. I think that books in the future, well, they're already gadgets, like I'll have the screen, it's as thick as a paper, and I'll have a few buttons, and I could always bring up what I want, compare. What's good in the book is that I can flip pages. Also here, if we'll advance to this easy sort of work, then undoubtedly such a screen will replace all my books. I could put in there the library of the world in there. I could sketch, I could find anything there. Page 799. Sorry, page 364. As our forefathers said, that each and every sage it prepares us for the desire of the Creator, which will prepare Him for His thought, which is to bring joy to His creatures, as He knows. So we have to understand what does that mean. On the one hand, when writers envy, it increases wisdom, but good envy, how everyone bestows and I do not. Maybe I look at them and who are all these? Moses or who are these? If I reach such a degree, I see all of them better than me. Not even such a degree. Like Rabbi Yossi ben Kizma. A person who enters spirituality sees the others existing, he sees the others as corrected in terms of him being in the work. He sees them as 100% performing the correct work. He sees them in the way they exist as corrected. And then when writers envy, it increases wisdom. As much wisdom as they have, as many good actions and only good actions that they perform. And himself, he does not yet see this way. And this is tremendous help on the one hand. On the other hand, if he joins them, then he could help with that power, etc. Meaning the work which is revealed, it is revealed alongside with the help, with the extent to which he can connect to it, get the support from them, and then he works on it, then it works reciprocally. They project upon him his true state, the extent to which he is not yet corrected, and they give him the power. Through them he receives the power in order to connect to everyone. There is a lot to it. It says in an article called Beyond Above Reason, in the writings of the Rabash first volume, it says, the sages said, when writers envy, it increases wisdom, meaning will all friends look at the group, that all the group are on a very high level, both in thought and in deed. Then on behalf of nature, it is so that each and every one must rise from his degree to a higher degree than he has on behalf of the qualities of his body. Item Kuf Lamed Dalet, which is 134. I didn't get this, that he is harmed by the other, or what does it mean? Why do you think that it's harm? He gets this burn, but it works in his favor. He sees how all the others are good, how to which extent the light shines in them. He gets from the feeling of light in them a real burn, and this awakens in him additional deficiencies he did not have before. We have to understand. The problem is that whatever awakens in us merely from the desire of a person, what can you awaken for? Imagine if now you do not look at the world. Even though our whole awakening of the world, it's all destruction, not in favor. But say, come up to some person in some village and never came out of that village. What is he thinking about? What is good for him? It's good if I'll have a few big horses, a nice carriage like that. If I'll have a healthy wife and healthy children and plenty of yield, and I'll have windmill, what can he imagine if he doesn't see others and envy others? What? Here you come in, he has a white shirt and a black jacket and he has brown shoes. And you start to get from them, and it's naturally, because envy exists in each and every one. You start getting from them different additional desires. If not for these desires, you have nothing by what to develop. You develop with your desire only as a beast. Listen, if I do not connect to others in order to develop in spirituality by them, I develop like a beast, and only like a beast. up to the degree of beast in spirituality and not man. I can develop, but not in a way that my soul really reaches development. It's like the example we have in this world. He gives us a very good example and a very deep one. We'll learn it in the book of Sefer Detzniut. Comes some peasant to some city. He grows wheat, and he's given cakes and bread, and I don't remember what else different. Oh, well, pastries and things, and with honey and butter and this with that, and it's all made out of wheat. And they explain to him it's all made out of wheat. He doesn't understand, where does it come from, such great pleasures, where did you find this? And he's sitting there and eating those wheat seeds. He doesn't even bake bread because he doesn't know what it is. You understand how by being included with the others, we receive from the others additional desires in which there was a breaking. I did not correct myself. I correct my attitude towards the others. The breaking is between us. We were cut from each other, and therefore, without envy, what we feel in our world, without attitude for the others, that I envy them, I want to gain from them, I want to kill someone, I want to especially control each and everyone. I'm driving around, why does he do that, why is he doing this, stand here, don't. Control. Without this, how will I get deficiencies for correction? Therefore, anyone greater than his friend, not simply someone, I'm 20 kilos greater and he's 10 kilos greater. No, but from his friend, his desires are greater than his. And that's it. Otherwise, I'm like in a forest and don't eat anything. Envy is how did a person come out of being a person? I look at a bear. He's hot. I'm not hot. Give me your fur.
This is why we're not understanding right now how to use this correctly. But the power of envy, that fire of envy and pride that comes from the Creator, that it's that form of uniqueness within us. Without feeling deficiencies through those things, we don't advance towards becoming a man. So the wisdom of Kabbalah that increases these things in every person is so fundamentally different than all the other methods that say you have to be nice to others, to be calm, to be a pink or a white angel. It's so opposite. It's completely opposite. We don't understand that it's principally opposite. I reach envy towards others where I see them at the level of the end of correction, a spiritual level. No, I don't identify that it's the end of correction. They are doing spiritual actions and they are just angels. And they're doing it of their own accord. I look at you with my glasses, without my glasses, it doesn't matter. I see that you give the Creator the opportunity to do all He wants with what you do. That's it, like an angel. It's not an angel, but the way I see it, you resisted your desire and you gave yourself like a servant. And now he's making actions through you. I'm looking at you and I'm saying, buddy, that's unbelievable. So I'm starting to eat myself up, of course. And that's how we correct the vessels of reception. So this is why it says the envy among authors will multiply the wisdom, because that's actually becoming corrected. But how can I see that you've given yourself to become that servant? That's what you see. Yeah, but what do I need to do to see it? You prepared yourself with your yearning to longing for bestowal. In that, you have prepared yourself to see that all the others are in bestowal. That's what you discover. It opens up before you that the whole world dwells in goodness. The whole world is the Holy Divinity, besides me. This is a great thing, chesed, mercy, that is given to us in small portions. There's also, otherwise we wouldn't be able to tolerate it. There's also envy towards the Creator, that's more complicated. Pharaoh says, who's the Creator that I'm supposed to listen to him? Who's right? Like the story of the capital of Shushan. Again, but if you get confused, just go down to this world. We have food, family, sex, shelter, bodily, beastly desires. So just do whatever you do with them. You can't go too far away with them. And if you do, then it doesn't matter that much. And honor, money, honor, and knowledge, honor and control, power, these are human desires, social desires, to be more accurate, by which a human being is a human being in this world. This is what makes a human being in this world. If one does not yearn for wealth, for money, not for honor, not for power, not for knowledge. Knowledge really means to control on a higher scale even. It's to control everything. That's the power of knowledge, to know how things can change. It's not just theoretically knowing about nature. So if one doesn't yearn for that, he has no place from which to derive other desires. So that's a beast, or it's like that farmer that only eats his own wheat seeds, and that's it. Now, if you ask all kinds of wise people, or philosophers, or mystics, or religious people, and tell them, if a person does not develop his ego to the fullest cruelty, he cannot reach spirituality. Try to explain that to them. These things sound contradicting, right? How could it be? No one will understand you. This means that this is the meaning of the reason of the Torah is opposite to the reason of hosts. That's opposite, and even for us it's hard to accept all the time. Every time, because it's the will to receive that is opposite. It grows, then you overcome it. It grows more, then you overcome it more. Yes, about the envy that we spoke about, it says in Panim Yehot Umasbirot, item 3, that's in writings of Baal HaSulam, the nature of the fire of envy surrounds the whole of reality at all times, because that is the reason of envy. If one would not see something that his friend has, he would not long for that at all. So the deficiency is not because what he lacks, it's because what his friend has. And Adam and Eve, that's the source of Adam and Eve, and this is why the source brings us to the exalted place again, by the envy. Because I don't care that I don't lack nothing, but you have it. So it's an additional deficiency that I didn't have before. I don't need it. I really don't need it. You know, it's like, what's the example? I don't know. Point to something I don't need. I don't know, a lipstick, right? Let's say I look at my friends and all of them start going wearing lipstick. I will start being ashamed to go without. I'll start being envy that I'm not popular. I'm not acceptable in their society because they wear lipstick and I don't. I'm telling you, it can be that much weird. It's just like that. You can't resist it. As of tomorrow, everyone else will decide that they go around naked. You will be ashamed to go outside with wearing clothes. Undoubtedly, for sure. And this is how it happens in nudist places. You can't, because you're under the total influence of your environment. That's it. Ask psychologists. They'll tell you. This is why... This is why a person, a man, is created as a beast without the society. Food, sex, family, shelter, that's it. All the rest is the desires that we receive from society. But the preparation, the foundation that we have for that is the envy. You know, how does a baby understand, how does it happen? He wants what the others have as well. He takes it. How? Because if you will research this deeply, you will see that this is why they want it. Because the others have it. If it doesn't matter what you give them, if the others have something, they want that. Meaning we are able to absorb desires from the society, and only by absorbing those desires can we rise to spirituality. So why do we need love thy friend as thyself? What is it? It is acquiring all the desires of everyone. How to absorb them, how to join them, attach them to myself through love. Meaning love is the means by which to connect to the other's desire, so that this desire will become mine. So now you'll ask, why envy isn't enough? Why do you need love here? If I envy someone, I want what he has. No, it's not the same thing. When you're envy at someone, and you now have the desire you got from him, that desire does not fulfill you, because you're neutralizing it with the pleasure that comes. So we need others to acquire them first, that, as it says, buy yourself a friend. I acquire them, I possess them, that's it, it's mine. It's just like I bought something. I bought this cup and it's mine right now. More and more and more. That's it. I buy them. I need them within me. I need them to be connected to me. Building the kli, the vessel, is something that is impossible without connection. Let's just say, without working with the environment in many ways. So before a person receives the point in the heart, and it can take a few years until that point in the heart takes on its format, its shape within him. But when it happens, he is planted in the right society. Because everything besides the point in the heart is all the desires that he receives from the society. Without himself, without that, no desire that is really aimed at spirituality can awaken in him. Only from the environment. And what are those desires? They are desires for spirituality. That's it. When I see that they have it, that's what I need to absorb. Well, there are many questions, but yes. At some point, the vessels that I absorb and the vessels that my friend absorbs will become will overlap. No? Overlap? I don't know. It's all one kli. So how do we cross that boundary and we start seeing that these are our vessels mutually? You'll see that on the way. It's not. No, because someone, when we're trying to work on dissemination, for instance, we can't harness our horses to work together. How can we work together and see that it's common vessels? On the level of the souls, it doesn't happen like that. On the level of the souls, you discover one common kli. If you're talking about the level of the horses, the bodies, then you're still separate. He said that when you get confused, you have to go down to this world. So, down in this world, how does envy bring me closer to spirituality? Because what we see in the world is that envy actually brings suffering in the world. Because you have... You use envy as a preparation. You look at them as the greatest of the generations, and you envy at their greatness, not in order to counter it, in order to be inspired to rise. What else for? We're talking about the people who are looking for a means to ascend, to transcend. So in this world, how can envy help a person who's on the common, on the lowest level, if we're talking about the widest way of dissemination? How can they use the envy? The world can't really use envy. They can somewhat envy at people in the sense that we explain them that spirituality is a complete thing, is a perfect thing, that it helps us get rid of trouble, of all the troubles, and we all reveal the future fulfillment, and we already become integrated with it, and so forth. That's it. All you can do is evoke that human, corporal envy in them. It's like what you tell a child. You'll be stronger, you'll be powerful, you'll be more than everyone else, and so forth. We're using the same powers, we're using the goals, objectives that they can understand in the meantime. Later they become wiser, and they throw away those things, and they advance towards better things. Each time, a child chooses a higher and higher goal. That's why it says, educate a boy according to his own way. You see, even the concealed wisdom, this is how it works. It's called the concealed wisdom because it talks about the concealed, and because it gradually opens up from concealed to revealed. To the extent that a person can bear the goal that is opposite to his will to receive. So first you have to start with temptations. You'll receive the world of infinity, full abundance, complete completion and perfection. And it's true. But in order to attain it, it is attained in vessels of bestowal. But in short, there's no problem with this. Yes, let's move forward.
Item 134 on page 365. You should know this law, that there is disclosure only in a place where there was concealment. This is similar to matters of this world where the absence precedes the existence, since the growth of the wheat appears only where it was sown and rotted. It is the same with the higher matters, where concealment and disclosure relate to each other as the wick to the light that catches it. This is because any concealment, once it is corrected, is a reason for disclosure of the light related to that kind of concealment. And the light that appears clings to it like light to a wick. Remember this on all your ways. Why? The principle is very important and fundamental for us. It is impossible for anything to be discovered but upon darkness. And it is impossible for the darkness simply for a person to undergo it, but unless a person acquires it, feels it, transcends it, uses it to the fullest, because out of this darkness comes the light. The wick is the resistance. The oil is the darkness. It doesn't shine itself only by the wick and by the light that someone brings to the wick. And these three things, they have to be put together. Israel, Oraita, and Kutcha Brichu are one. The oil, the wick, and the light that then catches the wick. This connection to the Creator, to Divinity. Both the oil does not burn on its own, and also the oil in the lamp doesn't, or in the wick, burn itself, but only the Creator connecting to the wick, which is called the equivalence of forms, the screen between them, and the wick. It takes its resistance from the oil, from the will to receive. All this becomes illuminating light, shining light. And therefore the revelation of the light is only in a place where there was darkness, and there is darkness. The first restriction is never canceled. There is darkness, and upon the darkness there is the work of the wick and the screens, and then comes the light. And he says, remember this always, because it never changes. From the very preliminary to the very final stage of all corrections, and also remains at the final correction. So this is something very important. And he teaches us how to appreciate our will to receive, how to refer to it correctly, how to ask, how can we pass through it if it's such a great infinity? It is all the will to receive. An endless abyss. If we receive this will to receive, if we perceive it with the precedence of the will to receive, there is no problem. Then we can really undergo it easily. How do we look for livid with the light? We take a candle, we go into a dark room, and we search for the livid. This is how we can advance. But first of all, we have to connect to a group, to the study, to the dissemination, to the method, to be in it. This is the free choice. Like we've read in item 4 in the beginning of the introduction, that the Creator brings a person to the place of good and tells you, take this. This is the place where a person studies, gets his guidance, and then if from this place, by holding himself and he's being held well, it's like a baby, he's not afraid if he's in his mother's hands. So this way, he approaches the darkness, he's not afraid, and passes through it easily, because he already needs this darkness in order to light it. And this is how he crosses. Yes, Bensi. Today we started the lesson with the will to receive being our enemy, not allowing us to reach decisions, the desires change, and it seems to us that we do something, and now we're finishing the lesson that we have to learn how to honor the will to receive. So how does it come together? How does it, it goes together very well. It's help against him. If you can work together with it, then it's in your favor. It's already help. If you can't work with it, then it's help against him. It aims you to be against him with the Creator, against with the Creator in all cases. It pushes you to the Creator by the evil that it awakens in you, or helps you to be together with him, to go to the Creator by the good. And you'll both walk together. This is how it is. If you could join it with the Bina, then you advance together. If you can't, then meanwhile you advance by rejection. It all depends on, again, all depends by what, with which approach do you come to the will to receive with. So our work is first of all to equip ourselves by support from the study, the environment, the group, and then each one to turn to his will to receive and to invert it into help. And with this hope, we'll finish. Several announcements. Ask the Kabbalist. Answers to all that you ever wanted to know. This evening, 7:30. Questions via Rav Lightman's personal blog, lightman.coil, or 1-700-509-209. Europe is uniting, a virtual lesson to all the friends in Europe who want to be one clean. Every Thursday, today, 8:30 p.m., Israel time, additional information, europe@kbb1.com. To grow in fun, a festival for children and the whole family. Today, 6 p.m., this festival is taking place, a conversation with the Rav Lightman, theater and music activities and games. The festival will be hosted by the stars of the Marshmallow Show, and it will take place in Park Ha'irkon and Amfi Vol in Tel Aviv. For additional information, come to 1-700-509-209 or CUPCOIL. By this we conclude. Have a great day and a great night. All the best. הסתיו שלך, זו השלכת שלי. האביב שלך, זו הבריחה שלי. מלחמה שלך, זו מלחמה שלי. השמחה שלך, זה האושר שלי. הלילה שלך, הוא הלילה שלי. ירח מלא, גם לך ולי. האמת שבך, זו האמת שלי. הלבן שלך הוא הזכות שלי. שנינו יחד באותה סירה, זה אני ואתה, בטוב וברע, רק ביחד, רק ביחד נגיע. שנינו יחד באותה סירה, זה אני ואתה, הגשם שלך זה המים שלי, הבית שלך זה העוגן שלי, האהבה שלך נמצאת גם בי, הכאב שלך הוא הסבל שלי, האושר שלך זו השמחה שלי, הפחד שלך זה הרעד שלי, העולם שלך הוא הכל בשבילי. שנינו יחד באותה סירה, זה אני ואתה, בטוב וברע, רק ביחד, רק ביחד נגיע. שנינו יחד באותה סירה, זה אני ואתה, בטוב וברע, רק ביחד, רק ביחד נגיע.
Yeah.